Take your Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Trust your heart has already been encouraged just through the testimony of others who have decided that they're going to live for, again, things that are greater than themselves, greater than the things of this world. They've decided to live for Christ. I would ask you to be praying for our juniors, be praying for our teens. I feel like God did a really powerful work in their lives, and I they need that work to continue in their life, and they need you to be able to pray for them and to be able to ask them how they're doing with their decisions. That can be a tremendous encouragement for them to keep their eyes on Christ and to keep following after the things of God after camp. It's a little different coming back from camp, not being around the Word of God so much, not being going to all the services, but it is a good time to make sure that those decisions are something that they can see for the rest of their lives, how God has changed them at camp. When we were at Wilds Camp, we studied through the life of Joseph, and I really want to just take a little bit of his life and apply it to a verse that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and just see how Joseph was able to live by faith, and how Paul was able to live by faith, and how that means we can live by faith. And again, I think the main focus as I look and study more at the life of Joseph, and I study more of Paul's vision and what he lived for, he lived for eternity. And if our eyes are on heaven, if our eyes are living for, if we're living for heaven in the way that we should, then we won't grow discouraged, we won't give up, we won't lose heart, but we'll want to live for God each and every day, and it'll be something that will just be the desire of our heart. We think of Joseph, we think of how he was treated wrongly by his brothers, he was sold into slavery, he was put into prison for a crime that he didn't commit. A lot of his life, it seemed like it was just unfair, like there was just another turn that didn't go his way, and as if God wasn't with his life. But we know that God was in every part of his life, and God was able to be there along the way to be able to help and encourage him. And it's I was so encouraged by the life of Joseph to know that he never gave up serving God. Someone in that difficult of a situation who's had so much go wrong in their life, what point do they have to be able to live for God or to be able to serve him? But Joseph made a point to be able to serve God no matter where God placed him. The end of Genesis, I'll just read this verse and then tie it into what we're looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But the end of Genesis gives us how Joseph views the end of his life. Genesis 50 verse 20 says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." You see, Joseph could have responded in a way that could have been so hateful and so bitter and so wicked against his brothers. They had wronged him. They had done wrong towards him. But Joseph decides to act out of forgiveness. He decides to forgive his brothers for the way that they treated him. Joseph, he shows no harm to them. He had all the power in the world, literally, to be able to go and just do away with his brothers, to be able to kill them off for all the wrongs that they had done towards him. Joseph shows forgiveness and he shows grace. His brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And there were many times, again, where Joseph, he could have questioned God. He could have given up on God altogether. But we see a teenager, Joseph, who is at the age of 17. He has all these dreams. He has all these ideas for what he has for his life. And those aren't fulfilled till later on in his life. But he is able to follow God. He's able to be faithful towards God. Joseph, he kept his eyes on God, and he knew that his journey was founded upon faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, our text tonight, that little verse says, which it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And that's kind of what I want to center tonight's message around. I'll go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 8, so we get an idea of what the context is saying here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Let's pray this evening. Dear God, I thank you so much for the challenges and just the truths of your word tonight. I pray that you'd encourage our hearts with the reality of heaven. So many of us, we get discouraged, we get down, we feel like giving up. when we think about how hard it is to live in this world, when we think about how hard it is to be able to live for you, God, I pray that you would renew our strength, that you would renew our vision of you, our vision of heaven. Give us a fresh view of Jesus Christ tonight. Give us a fresh view of heaven and all that's waiting in store for us. And God, I pray that you would just help us to be able to from walk away tonight living for not ourselves or not for the things of this world, but that we would truly live for the desires of heaven. And I pray that you would just encourage us tonight through that. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. What we find here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again, it's a hope to live for something more than ourselves or more than the things of this world. And the first thing we see this evening is we have a future hope. We have a future hope. And it really starts out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reminding us of that eternal future that we have. Just in the previous verses leading up to chapter 5, we see that Paul is saying there in verses 16 through 18, he's saying that he's not fainting, he's not giving up on God, he's deciding to live for God. Though the outward man, though our body is perishing, inwardly, Paul was reminding us that we need to be renewed spiritually by God and through the power of his word and through the encouragement that God can bring to us. And that's where we'll get our encouragement to live for heaven and to live for Jesus Christ. It will be when we're renewed by God and we're renewed through his strength as we look at heaven. And we can see that so clearly through the life of Paul, where he had every reason to be discouraged. He had every reason to feel like he couldn't go on anymore. But Paul was able to renew his strength. Paul was able to keep his eyes on heaven. 2 Corinthians 4 reminds us again, our earthly bodies, will wear away. And living for living in these bodies, we know that outwardly we are perishing, but inwardly, spiritually, we're being renewed day by day. And we have a hope, a certain hope, of knowing that we have heaven to live for. And that's such an encouragement to know that, again, we're not living for ourselves. We're not just living even for other people. We're living for eternity. We're trying to do as much as we can each day to live for heaven and the reality of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, we know that we have the resurrection. So we're living for heaven, and we're living for Jesus Christ. We're living with that resurrection power that God promises to us, and that's how we can live for the reality of heaven. Paul is saying that in light of our earthly condition and our body, we should long for heaven and desire to go there and to be forever with Jesus. It's going to be such a wonderful experience, an amazing experience to one day live in heaven. But that can't get us to the point where we know that we're saved and we know about the reality of heaven, and that doesn't change at all how we live. Because we know what God has called us to, because we are saved, because we know of the reality of heaven, that should change the way that we live. Not just the fact that, okay, we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven, and we don't want to really live anymore. We don't want to live for God in the way that we should. No, that should be the motivation, the desire for why we do what we do and why we live in the way that we should, because we know heaven and because we know Jesus Christ. And Paul had this motivation for his ministry, that no matter really what came his way, no matter the conflicts, the trials, the difficulties that seemed to pour into the life of Paul, he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, he kept his eyes on heaven, and that is how he was able to continue on in service to the Lord. He wanted to live no matter what. It's amazing to think of all that Paul endured for the sake of the gospel. And it never seemed to discourage Paul. It never seemed to stop him, whether there were a threat of government or threat of those who were trying to take his life. Paul knew that he was on a mission. He knew that he was on a mission for his Savior to be able to give out the gospel. And Paul wanted to make sure that he was going to be faithful to his God in giving out the gospel and ministering to others. We see 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says that he talks about light afflictions compared to the glory and the reality of heaven, that the things that he experienced and the things that we experience, though they're hard, though they're difficult, though they're burdensome here on earth, when compared to the glories of heaven, when compared to living forever in heaven with Jesus, it seems like a light affliction, like a light problem, like something that's not even much at all in our lives. And sometimes it's hard when we're going through that trial, when we're going through that difficult time, when we're in the very center of that situation that God brings us in. Sometimes it's hard to remind ourselves to think about heaven. But that's what Paul was able to do. He was saying, in spite of this light affliction, and you almost laugh at that because we know that Paul didn't endure a light affliction. that he endured shipwrecks, he endured beatings, he endured many times where there were those who wanted to take his life. He suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. He endured so much suffering and affliction, and Paul says it's just a light affliction compared to what I have waiting for me in heaven, compared to living forever with Jesus Christ. What a testimony, what an outlook that Paul had, but he had his eyes on Christ and he had his eyes on heaven and living for God all of his days. And again, they see these afflictions, they seem light compared to the joy and the wonder of one day seeing Jesus face to face. And we should look forward to that, and that should cause us to live differently because we know Jesus Christ, and because the light afflictions that we have, they're nothing compared to the glory that we have forever waiting for us with Jesus. And to a similar degree, you can look at the life of Joseph and you can see the afflictions and the sufferings that he went through. And he endured a lot. He went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulties as he was following God and as he was serving God. Yet Joseph lived for more than himself. He lived for his God. He lived for the reality of one day being with God. And when we look at our circumstances, it's so easy to find ourselves discouraged sometimes, to complain and act like things aren't fair. And I'm sure Joseph had every right, humanly speaking, to say that his life wasn't fair, that things didn't go the way that he wanted them to. But he knew he was living for his God. He knew he was living for something greater. C.S. Lewis writes this: "The fact that our heart yearns for something earth can't supply is proof that heaven must be our home." When we don't find satisfaction on this earth, when we don't find satisfaction in the fact that our bodies are wearing away and we don't seem to quite fit in with this world and the standards of this world, it reminds us that we belong with Jesus. It reminds us that we belong in heaven, and that's where our focus must be. 2 Corinthians 5, right here in the middle here, it talks about a very important work of not only salvation, but also sanctification within the life of the believer. The work of the Holy Spirit is really what's talked about here in verse 5. The work of God's Spirit is something that we must praise God for every day of our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one who is there to assure us of our hope of eternal salvation. He is the one who is able to make possible and set a foundation of solid faith with God. It's because of the work of regeneration of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Also, we know that we are now a part of Christ and that no one can pull us away from God. It's because of God and it's because of that Holy Spirit sealing us forever with Jesus Christ. And we have that fellowship. We can enjoy that relationship with God because of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now indwells all believers. And that becomes a guarantee, a certainty for us. To know that for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, who have placed their complete faith and trust in Christ alone to save them, that the Holy Spirit is going to assure their salvation. Our salvation isn't based on what I can do or all the good things that we have done to be able to keep that salvation. No, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, renewing us and again, pointing us towards Jesus Christ and reminding us that once we're saved, that decision is settled forever through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's settled in heaven in our lives. The Holy Spirit now indwells us, and salvation also reminds us of when we will be complete in glory, and that's really glorification, that one day where we will be perfect before the very eyes of God, and that's a day that, again, that we long for, to be perfect and complete before God because of Jesus Christ, that one day where our faith will become sight, when we'll be forever with Jesus. And again, we can trust in the promise of God's word in sanctification, of knowing that, again, the Holy Spirit has started this work in us. He started it at salvation. He has saved us. But also there's that work of the Holy Spirit every single day in your life, in my life, to know that God isn't done with us yet. To know that God's going to change us. That work that he started, he's going to continue to perform until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a guarantee. That's a promise that God has given to us. That the Holy Spirit's work has just begun in our lives at salvation. And he's going to continue that work in our lives. And that's such an encouragement and a blessing to know that God's going to continue to work through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And again, in today's world, we find it so hard to find things that are just a certainty, things that we know are a guarantee in our lives. We think of material things that we know that, you know, this thing won't break down. We know that this is going to be the best thing that we ever bought. And then it eventually breaks down, or just different things that we know we're sure of. We know we're sure that this sports team is better than the other team, so we know they're going to win. We can call this one already. It's a guarantee. Already write them as the winner. And then the other team wins, and then you realize you don't know as much about sports as you thought. It might be a personal example for me, but maybe some of you all have experienced that too. Again, there's so many things in life, and it's hard to be a guarantee to know for sure that we have those decisions settled. But again, the work of the Holy Spirit, it's a guarantee. It's a done deal. It's a certainty to know that God's going to save us, and he's also going to change us more into the image of Jesus Christ. That we can be 100% sure of knowing that God will continue his work of grace in our lives and in our hearts. Again, the more that we think about this, the more we think of the Holy Spirit, it causes us to think about two things. Number one, do we know Jesus as our Savior? Have we experienced that transforming work of the Holy Spirit to save us from all of our sins, to receive that forgiveness? But also in the same sense, what are we doing with that message? We know of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've experienced it. We know about Jesus Christ changing our lives every day through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that should cause us, that should motivate us in our ministry to spread the gospel out, to tell of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and to tell how Jesus Christ can continue to change others as well. The second point this evening is we are always confident. We find this in verses 6 through 8. Wiersbe comments on Paul's perspective. He says, because he had this kind of confidence, Paul was not afraid of suffering and trials. This is not to suggest that he tempted the Lord by taking unnecessary risks, but it does mean that he was willing to lose his life for the sake of Christ and the ministry of the gospel. You see, heaven was not just a destination point for Paul to go. It wasn't that Paul was here and that heaven was here and that Paul was just going to travel there and then he arrived. No, Paul, heaven was really his focus, his vision, to live for those things that were greater than he was, to live for the name of Jesus Christ all of his days. It was something that, again, it was his motivation, his purpose for ministry. And again, when we think of Paul, his motivation for ministry, his motivation for the gospel, it's there. It's very clear. But what is our motivation behind our ministry? Maybe it's just to survive. Maybe it's just to endure and just to keep going on with our ministry that God has given to us. Maybe it's just trying to get noticed by others. But again, the gospel in heaven reminds us that to be faithful to God, to live for eternity, should be all the motivation that we need. We don't need others to praise us for that motivation. We don't really necessarily need to just endure and just to keep on going. But we need to have heaven as our motivation for the ministry that we do. We know that, again, as we have heaven as our motivation, it reminds us to invest in two eternal things. It reminds us to invest in God's word and the souls of men. Those are the only things that will last, the only things that will remain forever, and that's what we should be investing in. We should be investing in God's word. We should be investing in the souls of men, reaching them and discipling them and doing our best that we can to be able to get the gospel out. The heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it's so challenging to go and read through that chapter because they did not live for the things of this world. They lived for their Savior. They lived for the things of heaven, and they lived for a city whose builder and maker was God, and that is what allowed these men and women to give so much of their lives, to give their entire life to God as a sacrifice to him. And really, when they weighed what it was like for living on earth and what it was like for living for heaven, it was really an easy choice for them to make, and the choice was to live for heaven every single time. And I think of the example of Moses, who he's brought into this situation where he could have lived all of his days just right there in Egypt. He could have lived a nice life. He could have lived a comfortable life. He could have had all the wealth that he wanted to. But Moses, when he had the choice of living for all the wealth that the world had to offer or living for God, he lived for God, and he decided that he was going to live for God all of his days, choosing rather to endure, choosing rather to suffer for the name of Christ as a leader, as a bold leader for Christ, rather than live for the riches of Egypt. And again, as we live for God, as we live for heaven, there may be some earthly things, some material things that we sacrifice, but it'll all be worth it. It'll be worth it to live for Christ. It'll always be worth it to live for the reality of heaven. At times, again, we long for the day when our faith will be sight. And Paul, again, he writes in this about this conflict to the Philippians. And he said that his joy, the real desire of his heart, was to be freed from earth and to live in heaven and to live with his Savior. He longed for heaven. He longed to live for Jesus Christ. But Paul also realized that, again, he was on a mission on earth, that God had placed him in a specific area to be able to minister to the saints, to be able to spread the gospel just a little bit more. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul saw, I think, the right focus and the right vision that he had of saying, it's great where God has placed us on this earth to be able to live for Jesus Christ and to be able to spread the gospel out. But it's also, we should also be longing for the day, looking in anticipation to the day that we will be in heaven with Jesus Christ. Again, Paul, he didn't stop ministering. And I'm so encouraged by his faith when Paul reminds us that he's in prison. And it's such an amazing picture to see Paul saying that even though he's in chains, even though he's in bonds, the gospel's still going. He's still doing all he can to be able to minister there while he's in prison, to be able to spread the gospel out. He's in a difficult situation. He's in a very hard situation, but he didn't miss the opportunities to spread the gospel and to be able to give the gospel out to others. We need to have the reality of heaven change the way we serve and really give out the gospel. All we should do should be for God's glory and done in a way to seek heavenly rewards rather than earthly rewards. Joseph needed to remind himself of God's goodness and God's faithfulness and the promise of heaven. And I'm sure at times Joseph must have felt like he was forgotten. You know, God forgot about him because Joseph went and he was sold into slavery. You know, Joseph now is in prison, and so many different people there in prison, they forgot about Joseph, they forgot about his dreams, they forgot about his vision. Well, God forgot about me again. But we know through the life of Joseph that God was able to use his life in a very powerful way, that God didn't forget about Joseph, and that God was going to be there for Joseph, and that Joseph served faithfully and lived faithfully for his God. Again, Joseph and his life, it would have been easy if God would have really given Joseph all the steps that Joseph was going to take. It would have been a lot easier if God would have just told Joseph, well, you're going to have these dreams, and then you're going to be sold into slavery, and then you're going to be there for a while, and then you're going to be in prison, but don't worry, you'll be out of prison pretty soon, and then you'll be exalted to being the second highest power in all the land, but don't worry, because again, I'm there for you, and I'll encourage you all along the way, and I'll be able to show you all the steps that you're going to take in your life and in your ministry. But again, what faith would Joseph have? He would experience no faith if God were able to tell him all the steps before Joseph was actually able to go and live those. But again, Joseph had his faith tested time and again. Was Joseph going to trust in God? Was Joseph going to live for God? Even when others all around him didn't want to live for God at all, Joseph decided that he was going to make a stand to live for his Savior. And that's such a lesson that we can take with us as well, to be able to live for God, no matter who's around us, if they're not living for God, or if they're discouraging us, even as believers, to live for God in the reality of heaven. God was working in the life of Joseph and showing him, again, the faith that he needed to live for Jesus Christ. And when life is uncertain, when we don't know what God is doing, we don't know how God is acting in our life, and we need to remind ourselves of our rock and of our salvation. We need to remind ourselves of Jesus Christ, that God is the one that we can trust in, even when times are difficult. And again, God may have you in a difficult situation. You may find yourself maybe not in the same situation that Joseph had, but you find yourself in a Joseph situation where you find yourself in a difficulty. You find yourself in a trial. Life is uncertain for you right now, and you don't know where to turn. You don't know how God is using this in your life. You can't make sense of the life that God is giving you right now and the steps that he told you to take. And I encourage you really to trust in God, to really pray and ask God to be able to, through the tests, through the trials, through the difficulties, to strengthen your faith. And the more that I see that in Scripture, the more encouraged I am to ask and pray to God that he would strengthen my faith. Because I know there's going to be another test coming. I know there's going to be another trial that God is going to give me. But how am I going to respond to that test or to that trial? Will I just say that I don't want any part of it, or I don't want to really learn what God is teaching me through that test or through that trial? Or will I humbly go before God and say, God, I'm not really sure of what your plans are. I can't see the big picture behind this. But I know that we have a faithful God, and I know that we have a God that we should trust in every step of the way. Again, you may not have the faith today for tomorrow's challenges and trials, but that means that, again, God is just preparing your faith. He's growing and strengthening your faith to be able to know more about Him and to be able to trust in God. I want to just give you some points of application tonight for the service, just some things to walk away with. First of all, will you allow your future hope to change your present ministry? Will you allow your future hope to change your present ministry? Again, keeping our eyes on Christ really makes all the difference. We can lose heart, we can grow discouraged, we can give up at times, but as we keep our eyes on Christ, as we keep our focus on things that are heavenly, it'll remind us to press on for God. It will remind us that we have Jesus Christ that we can live for every single day, and we can keep our eyes on Jesus Christ because of all that He has done for us and all that we need to do by giving our lives as a sacrifice to God. Number two, are you confident in God's working in your life? Because of the Holy Spirit and His work of grace in our lives, we should live differently each day as we trust in God and make our ministry about people and about Jesus Christ. Are we seeing that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And are we really praising God for that work of the Holy Spirit? Are we seeing that work and saying, God, He's still working in my life. He's still showing me that Holy Spirit's change in my life. And we're trusting God to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our hearts and in our lives and to know that God is going to be faithful to us. First of all, if you don't know Christ tonight, if you haven't made that choice, tonight could be that choice where you trust in Jesus Christ alone to be able to save you, where you see that Holy Spirit's work of grace in your life for the very first time. And I'd encourage you, maybe even if you have questions about salvation or what it means to trust in Jesus Christ, that you'd come and you'd find someone down here at the altar that could come and that could share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it means to be saved, and to have that Holy Spirit's work in your life. And again, as Christians, as believers, we need to take hope and comfort for our current situation. Again, maybe you need to spend some time tonight just praying and praising God for heaven and for the work of the Holy Spirit. You know of the joys of heaven, you've seen God work in your life, and you just want to testify and praise God for that work that He's doing in your life. It would be a great chance to be able to do that, to praise God for the reality of heaven and the chance to live for Him every single day. And maybe tonight you need encouragement. You're in a difficult situation. You're in a time where you're not sure where your life is going. You're not sure what the next step is for your life. Take heart, because Joseph and so many other heroes of the faith, they were able to keep their eyes on Christ. They were able to live for Jesus Christ in spite of very difficult and hard times. And that's where we need to run to. We need to run to God in prayer and know that God will strengthen our faith, that He'll help us even through very difficult times. Let's close in prayer.